Sarah, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Now, tell me about your background. How did you start to work kind of in the mental health sphere and the sector?
I have a background in arts, in gender and cultural studies, and then did a social work degree, and have been working in various mental health organisations for many years. And in the last, about 2 years ago, a colleague and I, Natalia, started Off the Wall, which is a small grassroots organisation which is really looking at alternative approaches to issues around distress and extraordinary experiences.
Yeah, so tell me more about Off the Wall, about what it is that you guys are looking at, what it is you guys are doing, how you're working with the community.
Yeah, so we started and running a critical perspective on madness reading group, which is really looking at issues around madness and distress and experiences such as hearing voices or seeing visions, but looking at it from a different perspective, from a medical model. And we read texts, philosophical texts, literature, poetry, academic texts, and really looking with a critical lens, I guess, at some of these issues.
Okay, wow. So it's moving kind of giving an alternative to medical points of view and medical perspectives and pulling it into a bit of a different arena for people to explore.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, wow. All right. I think that this is so interesting. How's the response been so far? How have people been engaging?
Yeah, we've had people coming for the last 2 and a bit years, and we've also run other workshops around suicide and sexuality and madness. And there's a lot of people for who the medical model and the mental health system hasn't worked for or has been quite harmful in the way that they've been treated throughout the years, and are really looking for an alternative and another community of people to think differently about some of these issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I think about any kind of health-related treatments or practices, it's never a one-size-fits-all model. And when we try and put everyone into a kind of a generalized treatment category, it's not going to work for some people. So things like this are so important for our community and so important for people who, as you say, maybe don't fit into the medical model of things or want to explore different ways of kind of treating their mental health and really looking after their mental health. So tell me about this suicide prevention workshop that you're kind of working on at the moment. You've got an information night coming up soon.
Yeah, so Alternatives to Suicide was developed in 2009 in the US by the Western Massachusetts Recovery Learning Community. And we're hoping to start up the groups in Sydney later this year. And the groups are mutual peer-to-peer support groups for people who have had suicide attempts or thoughts of suicide, and are really around supporting one another, talking about suicide, listening in a safer space than perhaps what is offered in other places, where there's, I think, a lot of fear around talking about suicide and fear about what the consequences might be if you bring up the topic of suicide.
Yeah, it's such a taboo in society. It's something people never really want to talk. Why do you think this peer-to-peer model works so well for some people?
I think, again, for some people, the mental health system, if you bring up the topic of suicide, they have the power to, you know, take away your rights against your will, lock you up. So I think that, and a lot of people have had those negative experiences. And I think often there isn't space to talk about what's actually going on for people. Sometimes when people bring up the topic of suicide, clinicians can go straight to almost a checklist of assessing safety and risk, and it really takes away from what that person's actually experiencing. So I think actually having a space to talk about those thoughts, but also creating community as well, where people can continue to have those conversations outside of the groups as well, and also focus on things that make life worth living as well. I think so often suicide prevention can focus so much on just preventing that person from dying in those few minutes, but actually not put much emphasis on, well, what would make life actually worth living for someone?
Okay.
And so I think focusing also on other conversations apart from suicide, or doing activities together, or thinking more broadly as well.
And building that sense of community.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this information night is going to kind of be a little introduction into what this could be.
Yeah. So on the 16th of July, we're having an information session to learn a bit more about alternatives to suicide and the approach. there'll be an opportunity to ask questions, have discussions. And we're also looking to start up the groups later this year in Sydney and looking for support or people who might like to be involved. We're in the process of applying for grants and looking how we might be able to make the groups sustainable mm-hmm. as well. So we're also hoping people might come along who are wanting to assist with that or have skills, IT skills or other skills that they might want to contribute.
It takes a village.
Well.
It takes a village, people. So you mentioned that this kind of stemmed from a previous kind of model in the United States, in Massachusetts, was it? How has that been working over there? Has it been successful?
Yeah, they've had really great results. And whilst the group isn't called a suicide prevention group, that's not how
they frame it.
It's framed. I think the results have been that very few people who attend the groups do suicide.
Mm.
And I guess that's, something we're looking
at. How do they frame the groups over there, curiously?
I guess a similar way that they're peer-to-peer support groups.
Yeah, right.
To talk about suicide, to have those conversations.
Yeah.
But I guess the sole emphasis isn't coming in to prevent you evening from suicide.
Wow.
But the byproduct may be that was what happens.
Same end goal for both groups here. Well, Sarah, it's absolutely fascinating stuff, and I wish you the best of luck. I really hope that this can help people and that this can be something that if it helps one person in the community, it's completely worth it. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to pop some links on our podcast if you'd like to check out more information. If you are out there and you are struggling, you need to talk to somebody, Lifeline, they are always available, 13 11 14. And reminder too, as Sarah was saying, this is kind of an alternative to tackling this very big, very complicated issue. Always do consult your GPs and medical professionals as well to find out how you can best go about treatment and you can best go about kind of working on your own mental health. Again, Lifeline 13 11 14.